Please, all that trash can easily catch fire.
So off my porch is a bad idea.
Cigarettes tossed into mulch, leaves, and grass start many fires. Fire can grow up the side of a building before anyone notices.
Fine. Bucket of sand?
That's perfect. Put it out. All the way. Every time. To learn more, go to mass.gov/DFS.
3. Testing. Yep.
Good evening. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect those of station management, Tufts University administration, or the Board of Trustees. My show runs every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. this summer. And today on the show, another live edition. It's much easier to make a show happen live in time instead of editing and putting things together on the computer. It takes 4 hours. So this August, there's a little bit of relaxing, and that we have live studio guests. So I want to welcome and thank everybody for coming today. We have a total of 4 people here in the studio, myself, and please introduce yourself as we go.
DLAQ.
Welcome again, and again, thank you for coming.
Mark Malone, great to be here.
Thanks for coming, and as always,
Becky with the good hair.
Oh, wait a sec, the mic is off.
Becky with the good hair.
Okay. Yeah, it's Becky with the good hair, good.
Oh, no.
I'm very glad all of you are there. No, you're here now. So I want to thank everyone also for listening, if you are listening. And today, I think there's several things that I want to talk about in this two-hour episode. The first part, in the beginning, we'll just talk about who we listen to, because outside of mainstream media, there's many different options to get information, so we'll see what people are listening to. Then we'll talk about the latest problems with injuries due to COVID injections, and then maybe predicting food shortages. How can you predict a food shortage? And at the end, maybe talking about how there's an idea to kill cash, and it's been done around the world, and also introducing CBDCs, a trackable enslavement mechanism. But first, who do you listen to? Now, you certainly don't want to listen to CNN, or who are these people? One name I know, Neil Cavuto. Who's that? I've heard that name. Do you guys know that name?
It's the car salesman down the street.
Oh.
I think he's on Fox, yeah.
Oh, okay. But also, this guy, Wolf Blitzer, he's had a beard, and he looks like a wolf, and he's been on the radio, on the TV for 20, 30 years, I guess. And what's interesting is the movie Contact, written by Carl Sagan over a period of 15, 20 years, describing how an actual alien encounter might exist inside our own mind through different dimensions. I saw it a few years ago again, and it's very clear that all of these people in the movie play themselves. They play the CNN anchors, Fox anchors, MSNBC anchors are all there in the movie playing anchors, and they're so good at being actors. It never made me so clear before that.
That was a good movie.
It's a fantastic movie, but it's.
Have you guys seen it?
I have not.
No, I haven't.
What the hell is wrong with this generation?
I know.
We're outside. We outside, people.
But these talking heads
are... I'm outside
are,
more than you are.
These talking heads are full of air and very good actors, and all they do is read words in front of them on a teleprompter written by other people who have other ideas. So you have to find the ideas that you want. For me, personally, there's about 5 people that have been generally kind of helpful. Joe Rogan's on Spotify. I've heard about maybe 25% of the new ones that come out in the past year or two. This other one, the Dark Horse Podcast with Brett Weinstein and Heather Hying. That's great. 2 university professors, PhDs in biology, discussing things they see in a logical way. Also, Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher, about 50% of the things I agree with him.
Oh, I didn't like what he just... Did you see his last clip?
I
latest
don't know.
Clip about... how was it? I don't suppose you can Google it. he was upset about the climate... I think it was the climate issue or something. I can't remember, but it was very... He went back to the other side. It's almost, you know how he likes to swing?
Yeah.
He went all the way back into the climate catastrophe. I'm sorry, you guys. We need to do this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, oh, and I'm watching it going, Bill, you were so close.
Oh. So close. Well, sometimes he has CIA people on, too. And, you know, these people get in there. And to my mind, these people who run the who host the shows, they have to have a certain amount of these people in, because otherwise it would be...
like it is now.
They wouldn't let to have a, be allowed to have a show. Someone else who's very important, especially with new things that he's talking about, Majid Nawaz. His show is Radical on Odyssey.com, video website, O-D-Y-S-E-E.com. That's Majid Nawaz, M-A-A-J-I-D, Nawaz, N-A-W-A-Z, and that's at Majid Nawaz on Twitter also. And he also has a Substack, which with long-form essays that are extremely illuminating and stunning. And then the last person is Zuby. This guy Zuby. Z-U-B-Y. He's on Twitter. It's good stuff. So I was wondering what other people here are listening to. What do you guys listen to?
Well, I also listen to a bit of Joe Rogan, you know, for pop culture stuff. Tim Pool for current events and stuff like that.
Tim Pool.
Yep. He's a... independent journalist, and then Del Bigtree, I get a lot of the medical news and information from.
Del Bigtree?
Yeah, he was a former producer of that TV show, The Doctors, if you ever remember. It was a primetime TV show.
Yep.
And so he's got a background in television producing, and, you know, also
I
did a lot of
I think he might have had an injury of some sort with the some sort of vaccine.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he started a fund, sort of like the guy that did America's Most Wanted. His daughter got kidnapped, so he started America's Most Wanted.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's always a sort of...
Yeah, it was a personal investment.
Yeah, a personal
there.
Stake.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see that letter that he read on air from this nurse?
Yes, yeah.
That was amazing. Del Bigtree.
Describe it. Describe the letter he read
air. Basically described how... the hospital system was negligent in behavior from one... I've been a nurse for 30-something years. I've never seen this. I've never seen such blatant disregard, killing old people because it was easier or whatever. The financial... It was very... It was like... It probably took up 2 minutes to read it.
Yeah, so. I think in New York, the hospitals got like $25,000 per quote-unquote
37 COVID to 15. Yeah, 15 starting higher. At 15 yep. to 37.5.
Wait.
For a death. For a COVID death.
A death that was attributed to COVID, the hospital got how much?
For somebody over 65.
Mm. How much did the hospital get?
Anywhere from 15,000 to 37,000.
Mm-hmm. 37,000?
Yep.
15,000 to 37,000?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like an incentive for someone to call someone a COVID death when it's not really
a COVID death.
It
happened all over the place. The UK was euthanizing anyone who's mentally challenged or over a certain age. They had DNRs on all the nursing home doors for their patients. It was even worse in the UK, I think.
Wow.
And let's also not forget that if you went on a ventilator, there's a 99% chance you were not coming off of it.
Yeah, for a disease with a 99% survival rate.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, so Del Bigtree, and I also forgot to mention Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H Times. That's, you know, that, years ago, that was just a newspaper you'd find in one of the boxes on the corner of the street in the city.
I was always suspicious about it because it was free.
It was
but
free.
But that's how they all start if they want people to read it, because people will read, people will take something that's free.
Well, it started as a publication created by the...
Falun Gong.
Yes, by the people who had left China as refugees because they did not like the regime there. So they started the Epoch Times as a newspaper. And for a long time, it was interesting to me to read about Chinese news and culture from their point of view. But only recently, it's turned into the more informative news, Western-style output. Right. So I think the Epoch Times is something that
for
you can find.
For a certain percentage of the population. The other people still think like we did when we first saw it. That it's some nutty paper that even my sister-in-law, who's a journalist, was like, oh, isn't that from so-and-so? And yeah, I'm like, yeah, it is. And she's like, but that, like, it's a cult or something, you know? Right. It's already permeated there, but they know nothing about it. But that'll be enough for some people not to read it.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we've got these things. Also, things I don't read anymore, Rolling Stone. Unfortunately, the new
owner.
You got
to read I read the Rolling Stone. They still have good articles, and you also have to read what's on the other side.
I know, but the thing is, the Rolling Stone got new owners a few years ago. No longer Jan Wenner, the gracious hippie.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of their articles are very fear-mongering and making people be negatively affected towards the things that they don't like at Rolling Stone. The other, yeah. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to pay for them ever again.
No, you just read them online. You don't have to pay online. And some, they do still do good articles, too. They still do music very well, reviews of any entertainment venue. It's pretty good.
Yep, that's right.
You know, you just don't read the politics. And it's really thin, even the physical copy. Remember how that used to be like...
Yeah, it used to be fat.
Yeah.
It was, all right, so we've
but
got...
But now Americans are.
So what else do you listen to?
That's pretty much it, I guess, for entertainment news. YouTube channel called Midnight's Edge. They do some pretty good reporting. Midnight's Edge. They
on
do reporting on entertainment, the movie industry stuff.
Really,
like
you
that.
Like movies?
Who doesn't? Right?
Who doesn't? What about you, Becky? What do you listen to?
Sit up straight. Come on.
So first of all,
what are you, a
lowrider? This is my chill space. thank you. Who am I listening to?
Yeah.
I listen to people like you guys talking. There's no one I can say like I'm constantly listening to. So
you didn't say constantly.
Do you listen to Wolf Blitzer?
I do not. I don't even have
Rachel
TV
Maddow. What's
house.
The last news story? What's the last news issue you found out about?
The housing market.
The in what way? And where did you get that
information? Oh, I got it from The Economist.
Oh,
okay.
I guess that's what I read.
That's a good one. That
but
used to be
I
good,
but
I don't
read it frequently. I mean, I read it when I
need to.
When I need to.
Where do you get your information then?
I don't know anything. I don't have information. I know nothing. I'm willing to be convinced if the facts make sense.
But not if you don't get. Not if you don't do your own research.
Right,
what are you interested in?
I mean, I can. What am I interested in?
Yeah, from a political perspective, COVID, economics, the environment,
economics mostly,
pro-choice, pro-whatever, pro-trans.
Where do you hear about music information, entertainment information?
Oh, I just put Spotify on, and it will play anything, and that's how I find music, good music.
But music that you know?
No, I would play anything. I'd just start from any song, and then just. Do whatever I need to do.
Does it cover?
It's gonna play.
Do you get news on Spotify too?
Do I get news on Spotify? I have listened to a couple of podcasts on Spotify, but I think I'd say yes.
Okay.
And who do you listen to?
The Economist.
Oh, it's like an audio one versus.
Yeah, they do
have
an audio one.
I'm thinking reading.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah. Do you read, Beverly?
I do read mostly for work.
Oh, that's why. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want me to debug code with you here and talk about the latest...
You can debate code?
Debug.
Debug?
Debug.
Oh, debug.
Debug.
Right.
Debug. Code?
We could do that.
That's it?
Yeah. Mm.
That's all there is?
That's all there is. Otherwise, I'm here to hear what you guys have to say and, I guess, build a case and see if it's logical enough.
Build
not.
A case for what?
For whatever you're arguing about.
But you're not involved in it because...
I mean, I do know some things. It's just that I
what
don't...
What do you know? What's your opinion of COVID?
I don't have an opinion.
Well, now, wait. I just want to point out that Becky is willfully ignorant.
She's
for,
not
for
now.
Some news.
She's been listening to us for how many? How long?
She listens to us here. But
that doesn't mean I agree with everything. Like,
right,
I hear
but
you.
We want to hear your contrary opinion. And then you say you don't have an opinion.
Becky, what's deadlier, do you think? COVID or swine flu? If you just had a guess, or do you not feel confident?
Can I get some numbers?
No. I'm asking you what you think the numbers would be. Like, if you're on game show and you had a guess, which disease was deadly?
I'd probably go with swine flu if someone put me up on...
Okay.
But we don't... Yeah.
I don't know the answer. I was just wondering.
No,
I don't know either.
She'd be right. No, swine flu is more devastating than COVID.
Yeah. But where are the numbers?
But
that's the thing.
Aftermath of COVID is worse than swine flu.
Okay.
Because we got out of it, we got 1918 to about 1925, we're in upswing, and then came a war.
Mm.
So we regroup for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, actually, I don't need to go any further than that. So in casualties, COVID-19 is going to be reverberating for the next century versus the swine flu, which had a... extremely high mortality rate, and then when we went into a prosperous time in the country before a war. So you're
COVID is more devastating. That this is going to last longer?
Yeah, 1918 to, think, 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Think about it, 100 years ago, we were just starting driving cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now we're going to the moon, 100 mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. COVID from 2020, 2021 is going to be felt for the next 300, if we even make it that long.
I don't know. I don't want to think of it that way, because I think this whole thing is over.
There's no reason to think of COVID anymore.
You don't have to think of COVID anymore as something dangerous out in the environment.
This was Act 1.
Wait. So what are you expecting? What are you saying? Let's hear some speculation. No.
The pandemic, as we know it today, is over. Absolutely over around the world. There's no reason to worry about any danger from COVID, because it's not a dangerous disease. Nobody should be worried about it at all.
But they are.
Because they're irrational.
Everybody you see with a mask on.
There's not too many people I see anymore.
JP just reinstituted their mask mandate. So did Cambridge. And schools are right around the corner. New York is making under fives mask up. So is Washington.
Pointless.
They're ramping it up.
Pointless.
And then they're also putting out a vax in the fall for a variant that won't be here by the fall.
Right.
Well, it's
it ain't over.
Isn't it like the flu? They keep saying
it was always the flu.
Yeah. So then, why is the big deal if they're gonna make another vaccine or whatever it is?
That'll be ineffective because of the.
But it's the same thing that happens with the flu. They take the strain that was there the previous year.
Right. That's how they should have handled this from day one.
Right.
Well, but that's what they're gonna do. No. Or how are they making?
They're gonna still have kids have to take. College kids specifically having to take a shot to go to college, even though they know the effectiveness of the present current vaccine and the prior vaccine are the same, and it does not benefit them because their age group is not at risk. Right. So they're just making people kids do it because they can make them do it.
It's a control thing.
Sure.
It's for colleges to make people be inculcated into the feeling of control, so that you must do what someone tells you to do in order to go to college and become, your best self, basically.
And also, what happened to natural immunity? I remember before this whole thing, doctors were saying, there's no better immunity than natural immunity. And then slowly you stopped hearing that, and now doctors are saying, the only kind of immunity is from the vaccine.
But let me ask you, like for colleges, is it going to be that if you don't have the vaccine or whatever, the new vaccine, that you can't go to college?
It depends on the college. But
I would say 50% yes.
Yeah. You can get a exemption for something, but
those are hard.
There
to
are
come
strongly
by.
Worded announcements from the head of the medical department that say these will be very rarely.
Some colleges have even said that if you don't get the shot, you can go online.
Yeah.
Oh.
And boo-hoo for you. I think of Virginia or West Virginia. No, it was definitely Virginia. Or saying, nope. I mean, whatever they call it, the dean or whatever, saying, no, if you can't. And yet they still have to pay.
Right.
Pay for what? The vaccine?
Pay for college.
Pay for
online college. Yeah.
Full price.
Yeah, it's nice scam.
Price?
Nice
full
scam.
Price. No meal plan. No Friday night at the local scholar or something. Nothing.
We're talking to friends. No.
Right. No social interaction.
That must suck.
Everything the college is supposed to be, it isn't. Yet you're paying for it.
The thing is that anyone under 60 does not need to worry about it at all, and especially people that are 20 and under, and especially kids. So kids should not be getting any kind of chemical injection that can affect their body for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is to keep the it's easy to keep something that's already been put in place through a momentary fear. So when everybody's in fear, they say, okay, we're going to put in this vaccine mandate, so you have to get a chemical injection to attend college. But then when when the problem is gone, and when actual knowledge has come out that there is no basis for the fear and there is no danger for the COVID disease, the mandate still exists. So it's pointless. It's unnecessary. It's an overreach. It's an aggressive campaign to inculcate young people into a culture of just subsuming their will to whatever large overlord ideas come down from whatever so-called Big Brother wants to say. So it has to end. it has to end, especially at Tufts, at Harvard. Do not force people to get injected.
It's too late.
To
they
pay $50,000 a year to attend your leafy covered greens.
The problem is that they've already established it. It's not going anywhere, and people are too compliant that.
I don't think it's a problem. I don't think that's true. People are not too compliant. I think people have to be aware that it's there and to force it out. To get
But you have to
get together and find people to force it out, because these people who are in charge of making the decision are just people too. Mm-hmm. And they can be found out, you know, they're people who live in the same little tank as we do. So if
no, they don't. That's why that's the problem.
They don't.
You've got college administrators, CEOs of companies. You've got the heads of states all on the same page against a mass that could probably overtake them. But the
why?
People, the 50% of those people, don't want to do anything other than sign a check.
Yeah. Well, what are the?
They're
I think
not
the
proactive.
The official numbers are what? Like they
of
say
what?
Of. Vaccination rate. They think they claim America's 80% vaccinated, but I think that's probably
they
not
were,
true.
They were, but the definition changed.
Right.
So
I think realistically,
nobody's vaxxed
right.
Now. That'll
realistically,
be the next thing.
We're probably at 60%.
Right.
If I had to guess,
I'd say 220 million.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Wait, you're saying that people are not vaxxed now? Or what?
No, the definition of vax is no longer two shots, and now it's not four, and now it's not a booster and a booster. They keep changing the definition.
Oh,
so people
okay.
who got a shot last year,
uh-huh. those are not considered
they are no longer
vaccinated. Okay.
And we'll have to re-up.
Mm. Okay, I see.
Soon.
Well, all you do is just write in the little extra information on your card, right?
That they don't check.
Exactly.
Which means this is a farce. The
exactly.
whole thing from
it's a
day
whole
one.
Farce.
So then what's the point?
Cha-ching.
What's the point?
Follow the money.
It's so that the pharmaceutical company can make the biggest profit in their year, for the year, in their history.
And everybody who invested in them, which is most heads of states, most people in Congress and the Senate. Brought to you by Pfizer. Didn't we go over that the last time I was here?
But all think about it. Maybe what I think is, because the pharmaceutical industry has been making so much losses for the longest time, and still they're the same companies that are bringing you drugs to, like insulin and whatever, like cancer stuff. Like, you know what? You'll need to pay us. And this is
you'll need what?
Thing.
Pay us.
They're probably like, you need to pay us for all the losses we've made.
Ooh, you think the pharmaceutical company is going to sue... Who?
No, like pay us in terms of take this COVID vaccine, and that money, the profit,
government
is what's going to be able to cover up for all the years that we've been making drugs.
How old are you?
I'm sorry, that is very silly.
Is it?
Yes,
well,
it's a very silly
when
idea.
When has the pharmaceutical industry ever lost money? You know.
Don't they always say that they're always like at a loss something? Like,
yeah, of course they
money
do.
For stuff?
Yes,
no,
they do. And then AIDS comes along.
No, I'm sorry.
Or let's see, we can even go back in history.
Becky,
penicillin.
It's a very
so you want to talk? Okay.
Uninformed uh-huh. idea, honestly,
well,
because
okay.
the companies do not have anyone's interests in mind except their own. Companies are not in it for you. They don't care about you. They only care about making money. That's their prime directive as a company, is to make a profit for their shareholders. So how do they do that? By making profits every year. How can they make a profit? By any means necessary. That's how. Any means necessary. And if that means deluding the public and convincing people through psychological manipulation that their product is needed to be taken and eaten or injected or, you know, smoked or whatever kind of product you're selling, you have to create a need. And to create that need, you create a false need through a false pandemic that is not dangerous, but instead you convince people that it's dangerous to make people buy your stuff and get money. That's how they did it. Marketing,
create the
marketing
problem,
101.
Create the cure. Cash in.
Like when I was 20, I didn't know I had ring around the collar. But by but by watching Saturday morning television, I knew that I had ring around the collar on my collars, and I needed something to get that out. So I got extra strength blast to blast out that ring around the collar. I never would have bought blast if I didn't know that the ring around the collar that they invented was a problem. So that's why I got it. But little do you know, any other soap that you use will do the same thing. So that's exactly what happened here. A marketing campaign to create a market for their new chemical injection that did not help anybody except add money to the profits. All right.
But are you going to do a thingy Mitchie?
No, we're going to move on.
Can I add one thing? Because this is the argument on one side.
Okay.
For against capitalism.
Oh.
Because that's basically you're saying that they bit farmer, and they did all those things. But prior to that, and there is no other system that I'm aware of, there are pluses and minuses to capitalism. If you get rid of capitalism, you may get rid of all the bad guys, but what goes in its place?
I know, yeah.
Initially, medicine was good. I mean, the American Medical Center, all those institutions were grounded in good, but if you have something long enough, it's only a matter of time before it's going to corrupt anyway. And that's what happened.
Yeah, I think the problem was all those oversight institutions all got corrupted or bought out, and we can't rely on them
anymore. It's like Greenpeace. Greenpeace, you saved the whales. You should have gone out of business.
Mm.
They didn't. They moved to climate because in the 50-year period that Greenpeace was around, it took them 25 years to save the whales, I'd say, approximately. And they're still sort of working on it. But those people made money. They got paid good salaries. They established a life. They had kids. When the whales were saved and there was no justification for that model anymore, they didn't want to give it up. Same as the Union of Concerned Scientists.
Oh, I see. So you're saying when a corporation is formed to solve a problem, and this problem is solved, the corporation should dissolve.
Yes, or pivot to something else.
That's exactly what the Enlightenment founders of this country thought 230 years ago. Mm-hmm.
Or even like the ACLU, there was a time where they protected free speech were great and amazing, and now they're like attacking people for spreading misinformation memes they don't like.
Shameful. Yeah. And you know why? Yeah. Because business was so good. So business was low, and they needed to create something.
Yeah.
We sort of solved civil rights. People know not to be, you can be sued for slander, you can be sued for this, you can be sued for that. ACLU did serve its purpose when it started, and it got co-opted or corrupted because the problems were decreasing. Racism was down, anti-Semitism was down, anti-Asian hate, whatever was down. And we were on our way, specifically with Obama, to being a pretty damn race-neutral society. And he leaves, and what happens?
Well, I think that was a creation as well, because before Obama was elected, there was a television show in production about either the KKK or the racists in the South, and it was going to be an episodic television show on a cable station, and it was canceled once Obama was elected. But to me, that means that there was need by some people to create more problems related to race, so that there would be more problems existing, even though we all know. We all go out in life and around this area. If you're listening to my voice in the area of Boston, you know that it's generally much better than ever before in history.
Well, we wouldn't know because we weren't there. But I don't have to cross the street anymore when I walk down the street. How about that?
Right. Okay.
I did when I was younger.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Yep. Mm. On more than one occasion in downtown Boston, going to Jordan Marsh.
Yeah. Well, also, on the flip side of it, I've heard from other places, those sources that I mentioned in the beginning, that people say that Boston is one of the racist cities in the country.
It is, but I love it here.
Of course.
I grew up here, and I've never seen it.
Oh.
Yeah.
But why do you say it is?
Because I've never seen... What part did...
You said it. It's the most racist, and you said it is.
I think sports athletes say that because
there's it's mostly related to sports.
There's just yahoos that are in the sports stadiums who will just yell out stupid stuff anytime they want, and that's what this.
But that's even on the down. That's even decreased. But Boston was notoriously, and that's because historically Boston was one of the most violent places in the country in the 70s, 60s, and late 70s. Busing.
Yeah, the busing integration.
The picture of the guy getting stabbed on Government Center from a civil rights protest. Boston has an extremely bad history when it comes to race relations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'd say that's an echo. It's not the way it is now.
Right.
Most there are still places like Winchester, Wellesley that are mostly segregated, and they're also the ones that have the most BLM signs on their lawns. Mm-hmm. And you can go to Dorchester, and it's mixed. You go down to South Shore, it's mostly white. You go to JP, it's kind of mixed. You go different
And also to go back to these institutions looking for problems to solve, it feels like there's a lot of like these like race hoaxes too, like that Jussie Smollett thing where like the actor he got attacked.
You know about that, right?
That I heard.
She heard that.
Excellent. I don't know if I know about it.
Tell me about it.
Go ahead.
There was like a famous actor that was on some show called Empire, and he claimed that some MAGA hat wearing people in the middle, in like 3 a.m.
in Chicago.
3 a.m. in Chicago.
12 degrees outside.
It was negative. Yeah, it was like negative 12 degrees, and they attacked him, and they said, "This is MAGA country." And he said, "Oh yeah, it totally happened." And then the police were getting statements and investigating, and then it turned out he hired two of his friends to beat him up.
Whoa!
And that the entire story was fabricated.
You have no idea about this? Come on, really?
Sounds like somebody wants attention.
Right.
He did.
He actually hired his friends.
Yeah,
yeah,
he hired
two
his
black
friends.
Guys.
Yes,
they were supposed to be racist.
Yep. Yeah.
And he paid them $3,500.
Yeah.
He would have gotten away with it if he didn't, have
make
the
a check.
Check.
He wrote a check.
He wrote a check. Yeah. Priceless.
That's why I need to keep cash.
Oh, yep. There you go.
Oh, keep right, cash, well, you guys. Cash is king. Yep. Don't let cash get away.
Well, let's move on. We'll talk about that at the end. I'll just say now, this is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, and this show runs every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. this summer. Moving on, let's think about or talk about the latest problems with the COVID chemical injections. Now, there's been a lot of people dying for unknown reasons, and you've heard it called sudden adult death syndrome. What a stupid name, sudden adult death syndrome. That means, gee, I don't know what it is, but we'll have to call it something to keep our integrity intact as somebody who knows something about what's happening.
Did you know that that's the number one death in Canada now?
No way.
I didn't know that.
Wow. Mm.
Today.
And related to this, there's a clip I wanted to play. And this is from Majid Nawaz on Twitter. And this guy is very great. You have to... Oh, come on, computer. This person is... this is a picture. This is a clip from the Mark Stein show on the GBN Live in England, in the UK, and it's on gbnnews.uk. And the doctor is Dr. Malhotra, and he's on this program called the Mark Stein Show, S-T-E-Y-N. Now let's listen to what he is saying about. Let's see, I've got this and this. What he's saying about the vaccines. If this is going to work, hopefully. Let's see. Okay, there it is, but it's quiet.
What's causing that? It's a great question, Mark. So
wait
I think
a second.
All
Let's
of these things
start at the beginning, and here it is.
Why is there a reluctance to actually have an honest look at what's causing that?
It's a great question, Mark. So I think with a lot of these things, certainly it's the excess deaths is probably likely multifactorial. Mm. So before, let's say, for example, the vaccines came into the equation in terms of the harms, which you've highlighted very consistently on this program, I would have said, okay, this is probably to a large degree being driven by the end result of lockdowns. You know, we know, as a cardiologist, I know how heart disease develops, how people can develop heart attacks quite quickly, how people can have sudden cardiac death linked to lifestyle factors, including poor diet and stress, right? And we know that people's diets got worse and people are under a lot of stress. But to answer your questions very specifically, in terms of things that aren't being looked at, so for example, could the vaccine be linked to these excess deaths? That's a question. I would say it's willful blindness by many people. And I would say, and this is through my own experience speaking to people. So what does that mean? People turning a blind eye in order to feel safe, to avoid conflict, to reduce anxiety, and to protect prestige. And many people, certainly vaccine injuries are a real thing. There's no doubt about it. The question is, what is the extent of those injuries? And how does that balance against what the benefit of the vaccine is? And we haven't got the answer quite precisely yet, but we're getting there. And what I would say for me as a doctor, what really concerned me, and you mentioned it in the letter we wrote to President Biden and Boris Johnson, and actually published in European Scientist, is very eminent doctors, very eminent scientists, Peter Doshi, associated with the BMJ, Robert Kaplan from Stanford, in one of their preprint publications, they were able to get access to new data from Pfizer and Moderna original trials on the vaccine. And what they found is shocking. As you said earlier, that in the trial itself, it appeared that one was more likely to suffer a serious adverse event from the vaccine, so disability, life-changing event, hospitalization, than they were to be hospitalized from COVID, and that was during the more lethal strain.
Yeah.
Now, if this is true, and there's a good reason to suggest that it is, then it changes everything.
No, it does. And you...
And did Pfizer know this? Did Moderna know this? Because in the history of...
Let's hear that part again. That was the good part.
It appeared that one was more likely to suffer a serious adverse event from the vaccine, so disability, life-changing event, hospitalization, than they were to be hospitalized from COVID. And that was during the more lethal strain.
Yeah.
Now, if this is true, and there's a good reason to suggest that it is, then it changes everything.
No, it does. And you...
And did Pfizer know this? Did Moderna know this? Because in the history of...
There.
Those are people who died.
People were more likely to suffer an adverse reaction from the vaccine than they were to die from COVID. And also, 9 out of the 10 people who died from COVID in the hospital had been vaccinated. That was shown to be in this past April and May in the United States. So, what other things have we seen that people have been hurt from by getting this chemical injection that is an mRNA vaccine that changes your cell's expression of DNA in order to make it seem toxic to your natural immune system? What other injuries have we seen?
Oh, well, other than myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots, Guillain-Barre's or whatever, or that one that Bieber got, the one where... Mm-hmm. Paralysis. I mean,
why is there a?
Whoop, you're on.
Whoa, hello. That was God.
Okay, I'll turn off. It's off.
So what about that girl that started the whole thing? The girl that was 12 or something was in the trials and now has to be fed through a tube.
I heard about her. That, yeah.
For one of the, she was 12. She signed up for the Pfizer trials 2 years ago, and they diagnosed her with stomach cramps, and now she has to be fed through a tube. She can't hardly speak. She's in a wheelchair. That was probably one of the first ones. And don't forget about the DOD. Are you following the Department of Defense?
No, go on.
Oh, my God. A bunch of DOD doctors about a year ago started noticing an increase, 400% increase in miscarriages and fertility issues, 200% increase in heart ailments from whatever the ones I just mentioned, in pilots specifically. Mm-hmm. And according to two of the doctors who were Navy physicians or whatever, this one woman said that you have to down a pilot if they have any kind of issue.
Yeah, because they could die in flight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she was basically harassed till she had to quit. She had a dishonorable discharge, do believe. Or she might even still be in litigation or whatever you do it in the armed forces. But numerous... And Ron Johnson did all the stuff. You know about Ron Johnson?
No.
Yes. He's a senator from some Midwestern town. Mm-hmm. He's been supportive of the vaccine injured and trying to get to the bottom of what's going on with everything. And he was also part of the the DOD Senate hearings that they... They're not Senate hearings. I don't even know if it was a military tribunal or whatever it was. A conference where a bunch of vaccine-injured individuals from the Department of Defense testified that all these risk factors were apparent that they hadn't seen in the however long they've been keeping records. Mm. And then the records were doctored and adjusted or attempted to, but... They downloaded the information. Are you familiar? You're familiar with... No? Yes?
A little bit.
Yeah. Do you know who Edward Dowd is?
No.
Edward Dowd is one of the first... He's a former BlackRock millionaire, lives in Hawaii, discovered that... I don't know how... What revelation he... I don't know how he got red-pilled, for lack of a better word, but he's been tracking financial markets and also insurance. And he was the one who, which should have been front page news yesterday, discovered that most insurance companies are having a significant increase in disability claims from the first quarter to this quarter.
I think 50% increase across all causes, I think, is what I heard.
Oh my God, 50% increase?
Yeah. I don't think it was that high.
I thought it was. That's what I think it was even deaths.
It was 11 at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they said everybody predicted, but 50% that should have been.
Yeah.
I didn't read that. I just I thought I read it. But if that's the case, it should be front page news. Yeah.
Well, I also did hear that there's an Army whistleblower that is saying that the Army is suppressing the actual amount of vaccine injuries within the Army.
Yes, they are.
Because you're required to have so many different shots anyway.
Right. Like anthrax, pointless. Yeah.
But the COVID chemical injection is the one that's causing a huge amount of variety of injuries that otherwise would not have been caused, and the Army is suppressing them.
Also, can I briefly mention that I think this monkeypox outbreak,
it's such a joke.
No, it is a joke, but I think it's partially related to the vaccines because, do you know how when monkeypox was discovered?
Wasn't it decades ago?
It was decades ago. It was during the, polio vaccines. So they vaccinated a large group of polio, people for polio, and then a couple weeks later they started developing this mysterious rash that they discovered and they started calling it monkeypox. And that was the first time they'd ever seen it.
Oh, it was an adverse reaction it came pustules, and then mm-hmm. the health workers busted the... Yeah. Sort of like TB, or what's the other one? There's another one. Not TB, because that's airborne.
So you're saying monkeypox?
It's a pox, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
Monkeypox was first heard about after the mass polio injections
correct.
In the 50s.
Correct. And I suspect, this is just me guessing, it's because your immunity, although when you take in a vaccine for something, it's strengthened for, you're strengthened against polio, but your generalized immunity is slightly weakened for everything else after that.
Yes.
So I suspect it's probably related to that. All of a sudden, they were more susceptible to this disease that probably didn't affect people all that much before.
Especially non-gay people.
Right. Certainly non-gay people.
Well, first of all, it's not dangerous at all. The first thing you see in Wikipedia is that it's basically harmless, clears up in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Just like any other rash.
Create the problem, create the cure, cash in.
So there's no need for any kind of injection about it. It's just a joke.
Right.
It's a joke. And anything you see that's taking it seriously is not to be trusted. It's a joke itself. The information given to you that is false, is false. It's a joke on a joke because they're taking it too serious. They're taking a joke seriously, so the joke is on them. Now, that's funny. That reminds me. Just today, I went to kind of fancy-ish grocery store on Mass Ave in Cambridge, and everybody in there was wearing masks. All the employees
were.
All
yep.
the employees were wearing masks.
Okay. Yeah.
And first I was talking to them and they were fine. They were just like talking to me, and I was like, "But why is everybody wearing masks here?" Mm-hmm. At first he said something about monkeypox, and I was like, "Oh come on, that's a joke." And he's like, "Yeah, I know." And so then why is everyone wearing masks? He said, "Well, you're not afraid of COVID still, are you?" And they said, "Well, so I guess there's an outbreak here. Someone's had an outbreak,
oh,
and so
please.
They're just like being safe." And I was like, "Oh, so your boss is afraid of COVID? Like, what is the deal?"
Good for you.
There's a
He's
ton
not
of,
usually like that, you know.
There's a ton of people just kind of in the cashier's area.
They're holding
all
out.
Talking to each other. Yeah. And I don't know. Unfortunately, the I think it's still performative at this point for the bosses of certain establishments.
Mind the clientele, too.
That's it.
A percentage of them.
The bosses are catering to the insecure babies who want people to deal with their own fear themselves instead of dealing with it themselves. So that's unfortunately where some people who want to people please end up, is they are inordinately...
No, they don't want to people please. They want to keep their damn job.
No, I don't mean the employees. I mean the bosses. The bosses of the store who is...
Them as well. Them as well. Everybody is... That's the one threat that people don't seem to understand. If you take a stand as an individual in any group, you're the one who gets to go.
I don't think it will happen, but you have to be able to speak about it.
No, but I'm talking about... Right, the CEO of Whole Foods is going to be retiring in three more weeks. And he did an interview, and he was on Twitter, and he said, "Just wait till I get out." Because he's leaving. He said, "Thank God I'm leaving, because the whole... regime has changed to a woke ESG." Mm-hmm. And he couldn't say anything until his contract is up, which is in another couple of weeks. And he said, basically, you watch. When I can talk, I'm going to talk a lot.
Yeah. All right, but let's stay on the vaccines.
I was going to say,
can we talk a bit
about ESG at all? Or do
what's
we
that?
Environmental, social, and governance.
Yeah.
Well, do we have any more injuries from the chemical injections to talk about?
I could give you a list.
Yeah.
Well, how many do you want? 344 soccer players.
344 soccer players?
UK throughout the world.
Last I heard there was like 109 FIFA members was the number I heard.
I saw 340.
Okay,
no, wait a minute. Maybe it's 140. No, it's more than... I saw a scale that says... And they've been keeping records since the... I don't know, 18... Whatever. Whenever football was... Soccer was invented, they've been keeping track of who dies, you know, because it... Well, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But from 1870 to now...
Yeah.
11 per year or every other year or something like that. And then this one, just like the VA VAERS thing, it went from flat to...
Yes, VAERS. Well, no, the soccer players are the most athletically, you know, perfect people in the world. I mean, they're extremely good athletes. Anybody who's at the top of their game, like, every football player, not baseball players, soccer player and bicyclists and all these people that are high energy are extremely good athletes. So... Why would 103 of them drop dead on the field?
Because they got the shot.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And why would the shot do it? Because the shot affects certain cells randomly in different people, depending on how it's shot. And these cells could be on your heart or in your gut. And the shot makes the cells turn into...
mush.
No, it makes them turn into factories for the disease. So then your body goes after those cells because it's the disease.
And remember, you're most at risk for blood clotting 6 months after your shot. So if you do take it, you should probably limit your physical activity because that's when...
Which is ridiculous because then you gain weight.
Right.
Your
right.
anxiety goes up, especially if you're an athlete.
Right.
And those are the risk factors to getting... having an adverse reaction.
Right.
Which is insane. You get fat, you're anxiety ridden, and you have to wait 6 months to see whether you...
right.
Imagine that. It's the same thing that I got tested positive. My husband and I got tested for COVID, right? Mm-hmm. My husband has a propensity for asthma, allergies. He's not in the best shape. He's not fat by any chance, but he's not in the best shape, aerobic or whatever.
Sure.
So he had all the risk factors, right? He was, by the end of the day of him getting diagnosed... He was had a thermometer. He had a thing at Advil. Yeah. He had some water, and they basically said, "Wait till you get sick."
And also, let's talk about the PCR tests because if they use a certain amount of cycles, I think it's 40 cycles every test.
Anything above 35.
35. Okay,
yep.
35. It's all going to be positive, no matter, even if you don't have the virus, because it's going so back into your history that you had some sort of version of a cold or a coronavirus. You know, in your past,
and
it's
new
eventually
going
to get picked up.
The new test. First of all, two things about I just found out today. Mm-hmm. One, most other Japan, India, the Asian countries put it in your throat or in your butt.
Okay.
In your butt.
The test.
Oh yeah, there's a picture on Twitter.
I remember in China. I remember China said they were going to like forcibly like swipe American diplomats up their butt.
Yep.
It's like,
and some of them probably would have liked it.
Oh yeah.
So
that's trolling.
So anyway, and the lateral flow test. They're both... The lateral flow test was faulty to begin with, but they never told anybody that they shipped them out to American... Remember when they gave everybody a free test?
Mm-hmm.
Like three per family, whatever?
Yeah,
which made no sense if you had six kids and two adults. Well, you have Johnny spit on one side, and I'll spit on the other, and it'll be fine. So, but there's a chemical... What are you just getting?
Just
that?
Got that? It had to go through time zones to Kenya.
But the stuff that you stick in your nose is sort of like the controversy around the mask, how they have little fibers in them.
And
if you stick one in your pocket and then you put it back on your face, and you stick one in your pocket and you put it back on your face, it always goes into your thing. But sorry, I'll wrap it up. But the testing, the swab thing has something in it that reacts with... When you put in the, I'm sorry, I can't explain it anymore. I'm not technical about Q-tips.
Okay, no, wait. Tell me what you were saying about 6 months after the shot, you're more likely
That's the window you're likely to get a blood clot. So what happened was a lot of these athletes got it and they went right back to working out and exercising. And I think what happened is, like, their blood starts clotting, and because their circulation's going really fast, it just breaks off, goes right to the heart, heart attack.
Huh.
And that, but you're most at risk at that for the first 6 months after the vaccine.
Now, how do you know that?
This was according to a doctor named Vladimir Zelenko.
Oh, yeah. He just died of cancer.
He just died recently.
Yeah.
But that was where I heard that from, and it seemed pretty reputable.
I'll Google it.
Yeah.
What you're for.
I'm just thinking, like,
Zelenko.
But you're not Googling anything. I'm not a technical person, and you didn't bring it. Bring a laptop. Do you have Boz and stuff?
Yeah, I got a bit.
Because I think that's the one thing that's going to change people's minds. They no longer can rely on their emotions. Remember at the beginning, and I had the first time we were together, I was talking about a survey or study that was conducted by people that are more on our side, and what was found is that we're too technical and we're not empathetic enough. And the other side is just the opposite. They're going to grab you, they're going to make you afraid first, and then they're going to tell you what they want to do. We, on the other hand, go, no, research has indicated that there's a 99% survival rate from this for people over 80.
Yes, it's clear. Yep.
So, but they were, think about it.
Under 80.
Going to kill grandma.
Yes, that's what
I
said.
You know, it's like, shoveling in the skateboard parks in California, isolating playgrounds, all this stuff to visually drive home the point that this is not a safe place.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Versus, according to so-and-so, all we have to do is protect the elderly and let everybody else go get along.
But that's old. Now we know that there's no need for anyone to worry at all.
But they,
at
this all. Is 2 years, plus how many years they've been listening to people about climate change, blah, blah, blah. This is not just something that happened. People have been conditioned in this country and around the world to believe a certain thing. I was one of those people. I thought when I was growing up in the South Shore of Massachusetts that white supremacists were wife-beater wearing, Chevy driving, Confederate flag waving, gun-toting people. Mm-hmm. And according to one side, that's what I am now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't.
So that's a condition. No, I'm just saying that's the condition in which that's the level of conditioning that the majority of the American public has been dealing with for years.
Well, that's the thing. We can talk about conditioning and manipulation of mass emotions and minds by media tricks, but I think let's wrap it up for the.
Just before you go on, I have a question about the blood clot thing that you said on athletes. So we all agree that athletes are.
Athletes.
I guess the most healthy people, right? And what I'm reading here is that clots don't usually occur like on healthy people because it happens when like your blood is not flowing, right?
Yep.
That's why it's called the clot. Most of them took the majority.
Well, what happened is
what's causing the clot?
The veins.
It moves faster.
The veins and arteries are reprogrammed with the mRNA shot to create spikes on them, and the spikes catch the red blood cells. So the spikes on the protein, so the cell walls of your arteries have spikes on them, and the spikes catch the.
But the red blood cells don't cause clotting.
Well,
in a healthy person, they don't. But the blood cells start getting warped once you get the vaccine, and if you see the pictures. You see, like, the healthy, unvaxxed blood cells are normal, and the vaccinated ones are deformed, they're interlocking into each other, and they're creating clots, is what happens.
But that's my thing. Red blood cells don't clot. They don't cause clots.
You do if you get an injection, and it creates a spike on the blood cell.
Of the blood vessel.
Right.
You have changed the interior, you've changed the nucleus, well, not the nucleus, you've changed how the cell works, and now it's creating a piece of the virus.
What happens when the...
It's creating a piece of the virus in its cell. And this cell could be any cell in your body that was hit by the mRNA injection. And then the body attacks that cell. So that cell could be anywhere in your body. It could be on the cell, the blood vessel wall. It could be on your skin. It could be in your brain, in your eye, in your gut. And then when that happens, you get a blood clot because every blood is, all the blood is going there to attack the dangerous cell.
Right. The immune response happens when you get the clot.
Am I right on that?
I think so.
I don't think so.
Am I close? Generally?
You're 100.
It's very close to Google on the fly because they censor these days.
Yeah. What about another search engine? Because Google is right.
Well, okay. She's got Brave on there. I think Brave is good. Brave, and also everybody should be having ad blocks on their website, on their web browsers. Do you not have ad block?
I don't even know what that is.
Ad block. Oh my God, it blocks all the ads. You never see another ad again.
Okay.
It's a it's an You're so additive. Excited. It's an add-on to your Chrome or Brave or Safari, and I think there's one called uBlock. Letter U block, and then all kinds of other ad blockers, but block those ads. All right. Let's move on to talking about how people can be easily manipulated and duped, because the problem with a lot of this is that people are just looking in one place for information, and they are accepting it at face value through the way that it is presented. And you all can see that when you watch TV, it just seems a little fake. But if you watch it all the time, it seems more real than reality, than real life when you're out in mellow, boring, green-leafed, brown dirt. Real life seems so boring compared to the way television has been hyped and pumped to take over your central nervous system. So how is that done? It's been a process of learning how the human mind and psychology works and using that to the advantage of those who are looking for specific interest. So there's a very important book called Propaganda by Edward Bernays. And you read the first chapter in that, you'll understand everything that's going on. And he describes how people's unconscious, basic animal instincts are how they will be led into the soft kind of results that somebody who is looking for that is doing. Now, a couple weeks ago, I put together a little bit about how the Jungle Book has a song from it called Trust in Me. I don't know if you remember that old Disney movie, The Jungle Book.
Oh, I remember the movie. And, don't remember the song.
And they've got lions and snakes and...
This was in the old cartoon one?
Monkeys that talk.
When Disney was still good. When Disney was good.
And there was a little Tarzan baby there. And
Mowgli.
Mowgli. That was his name. And he was like the baby Tarzan raised by the apes. And from my point of view, it's a very apropos scene, and I'm going to play it right now because it's just so clear to me that this is something that that is very connected with the modern stuff.
Well, why don't we talk about food shortages while you're
It should come up in a second. Okay, stop that.
How you doing over there?
Good.
Oh, there it is.
Becky.
With the good hair.
You. Yes, Becca. So nice to see you again.
I can barely hear.
I know, I have to change it. I'm sorry.
It's the snake song.
Yes, Becca. So nice to see you again.
Wally Cox.
How come it's not?
Oh, go away. Leave me alone.
Can we talk about food shortages now?
About what?
Something other than dead air.
I know, this is what I wanted. Oh,
is it the mask?
What a shame it's not coming up. Okay, well, that's a shame. But anyway, it shows that the... well, I guess we'll have to skip it because I really wanted to talk about this and related to that.
Oh, the one where it goes like that?
Yes, yeah, that's the point.
The
is that the
yeah, but you can use the Star Trek. Have you ever seen the Star Trek one?
The snake is using hypnotizing. And it shines its eyes as soon as it basically gets permission for the boy to look at him.
Mm-hmm.
And the snake says, "Oh, you don't want to look at me?" And the boy says, "Oh, And then he looks at him, and then he's hooked.
Boom.
Yeah.
So that's the backwards psychology, the manipulation that is used to hook you into thinking that reality is on TV.
With that in mind, once again, I will reiterate what I said.
Yes.
This is 30 years or more of people being fed one specific ideology versus everything else. And that is a hard thing to break. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that that people were so easily led is because of what you just said. The TV is more real than their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So when this thing came along, they were ready to basically jump into that system so that they would feel alive.
If we have time, though, can we go back to ESG at all?
What's ESG?
Environmental Social Governance.
It stands for Environmental Social Governance, but what it is it's an